Once again, it's so good to see everyone out this Lord's Day. You heard the phrase before, unprepared. That would be me looking at you this morning, unprepared. But in one sense, that's true, but in another, it's really not. We're all the body of Christ here. We've got God's Word in front of us that He's given to us to direct our path here upon this earth, if we just look into it. It was announced, Brother Paul, he's feeling a little bit on the weather somewhat, and I think it would be good if we go to prayer. To prayer at this time for Brother Paul and his illness. Brother Bryce, would you come and lead us, Brother, for Brother Paul?
But dear and loving Heavenly Father, we approach you at this time through the avenue of prayer to say thank you for all the many wonderful blessings. At this time, we have our minds and hearts centered around our beloved one, our Brother Paul, that his illness and his sickness, rest you look upon him and give him blessing that he can have that help that he would like so much to desire that you see fit to bestow on him, that he can feel better and go about his normal walks of life. We miss him so much, and we know that he would love to be with us, and we thank you for allowing him to come and be with us when he is able. We thank you at this time for Brother Mule as he is able to step forward and fill that vacancy that we give him, our attention, and that he has many wonderful memories of things he wants to say, saying unto us that we be open-minded and listen to him. We wish you now to be with us as we go about our every steps of life. In Christ's name, amen.
You know, as I'm thinking about Brother Paul, as I stand here, there's a verse over in since it's 3 John, maybe 1 John, there where it talks about, yeah, here it is in 3 John verse 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Here we see the exhortation for one to prosper, not only spiritually, but also physically. And that's where our minds this morning, of course, are with Brother Paul, that his health can be restored fully, even as Brother Bryce has prayed before God here in our presence this morning. As I was thinking there, Melissa was kind of grinning at me, like, what are you going to talk about? And that's an understatement, maybe. But I guess the memories flooded through my mind as I was here on the front bench thinking back 43 years ago this coming August, when I graduated high school, May of 81, going into the Marine Corps in August. And I was gifted with a Bible from the preacher here at that time, Brother Earl Weldon, who's now gone on to his reward, passed on some years back. He was from Georgia. He was with us here two different occasions as the minister. But that Bible, and I had it with me, still have it, and he had written with his own writing in the back. It said, only this book will keep you from sin, and only sin will keep you from this book. And I've always thought on that. Only this book will keep you from sin, and only sin will keep you from this book. And that's so true. That three-letter word, sin, how it does keep us from studying, how this book can deter us from sin, you might say. And then I was thinking again back to our class this morning, trying to gather some thoughts. And Brother Gavin, as he often says, he provoked a thought within, even in my mind, as I was sitting there on the bench. I think his quote was, you know, it doesn't take any effort at all to live for Satan. It takes great effort to be a Christian. We have to be on the offensive always, looking out for the subtle, as the scripture talks about, devices of Satan. It says we are not ignorant of his devices that are to the church of Corinth. He uses many ways that are to our demise, you might say, to pull us back into the world, as Brother Paul talked about in our class. Why do people go back into the world who have been free in Christ, even as you and I all are this very Lord's Day, free from our sins if we indeed have obeyed the gospel and remained faithful? As 1 John talks about, as his blood continuously cleanses us daily, the beauty of that, why would anyone want to go back into the beggarly elements, as it talked about there in Galatians this morning, of the world? And I was thinking on some verses we could look at to help us in maybe expound on those thoughts somewhat. You know, you can go back to the book of Job there in Job 1, we find there about how Job was troubled by who? By Satan. What happened there? The Lord asked, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan, and listen to what Satan said here, Job 1, 7. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So what was the mission of Satan there? Why was he going about the world? Was he just out for a, as they say, a Sunday evening drive? Or did he have an initiative? Did he have a, what was his reasoning behind going through and out, throughout the world? What was his motivation, you might say? The souls of men and women that he might cause others to be lost and to one day spend an eternity with him. He knows his destination. That's his whole goal in life. And that, you know, that's so sickening, is it not, to think that someone would have those priorities in mind. And it brings other thoughts to us about, even though we're in Christ, you and I this morning, as was mentioned in our class, we're still in this fleshly body. We still have appetites that are to be fulfilled within God's regulations, within his standard. And it's when we get outside of those boundaries, that's where Satan going to and fro within the earth, he succeeds. He drags us back into the to the world. He snags us. The tug of Satan is so great. And we're never to play that down in any way, but to open our eyes to it. He's powerful, but he's not as powerful as God. The Bible tells us if we'll stick with his word and remain faithful unto death, that we can defeat Satan and we'll not be with him in eternity as those that we read about in Galatians will be. Again, it goes back to our class this morning. It talks about the contrariness, the polar opposites of sin and goodness, light, darkness. You might say water and oil. You remember in 1989, the Valdez, the big ship that spilt all of its cargo, the oil there in Alaska. I believe it was in 89. I think they convicted the pilot of the, who was at the helm of the ship. I believe he was actually under the influence maybe, or was away from the office. I forget exactly. But the point to be made here, the cargo was spilt there. And I remember seeing all the cleanup efforts went on for months, maybe years. And you know how water and oil doesn't mix. You know, the water will, they used skimmers to try to get it off the top of the oil, off the water and such. It's not compatible one to another, you might say. Just like you and I, once we become Christians, it's incompatible that we would go back into the world. We would let the world drag us back into its grips. And we would be slaves to the world once again when we've given that up. That servitude is no longer to the world, but servitude is to Christ. And we do that out of love because what he first loved us. And we serve genuinely, routinely, not just haphazardly, but it's not an afterthought. It's something that's a daily thought. What can I, when I wake up, what's something I can do in the name of Christ today, not in the name of Satan? You know, if we would have that mindset, oftentimes it would, I think it would cause us to mature more so even as we go about our Christian walk. But looking at Galatians there, about this contrariness of the flesh and the spirit, I think it would do us well to look at these verses. And I know Brother Paul will, he will get into this, the Lord will, once in the coming weeks. He hasn't hardly got here yet. But Galatians 5, verses 16 beginning. And we're all so familiar with these verses, but they never grow old. As the song goes, where it never grows old, speaking of heaven. But here it's speaking about the contrariness of sin and goodness, how that they are totally opposite. This I say then, beginning verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, there's a choice there. If we walk in the Spirit after the ways of Christ, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Even though, as I said at the onset of the talk, we're in this body, you know, blood coursing through our veins. We have these desires sometimes that have to be contained and fulfilled according to God's standard. But when we get outside of those boundaries, that's where the lust of the flesh, you might say, with Satan, remember, going in and about the earth, looking about who he can devour, he wins over. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are, notice that word, contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You know, something that's contrary to something else, it means that they just like I said, don't mix. I know Melissa sometimes reminds me when she's baking, I say, why don't you make that a little bit smaller if we don't eat that whole pan of cornbread? And I may not get this just right. But I know chemistry, baking has to do with chemistry. You can't just haphazardly change the formula. You won't get the desired result. And that's kind of like here, contrary. If we try to take a contrary approach to sin and we try to insert our ideas, as Brother Paul talked about this morning, may, well, I thought this would be okay, or surely God will excuse this. There's danger in that. We're getting away from the standard, and we're doing things contrary to God's will, and we gradually, again, through Satan, remember going in and about the earth in his subtle way, trying to pull us back into the world and the lust of the world, we're likely to succumb to that. It's a daily effort. And he goes on here, it says, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You know, what do we want to do? We want to live Christ-like. We want to follow Christ, everyone in the sound of my voice this morning, including self. That's your whole desire. We wouldn't be here. But it takes effort, as Brother Gavin spoke of, and even in the class this morning, it takes much effort. And it goes on, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now it goes on to say here, the works of the flesh, this is where it gets down to where the rubber meets the road, you might say. It categorizes, as Brother Paul often mentions, the different sins here. And they are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Some of these words we don't think of so much in today's vernacular, maybe, but others, they're very recognizable to us. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. The list goes on and on. Envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you think, well, Newell said all of us are faithful Christians. We're in Christ. But what happens if we go back into the world as the Galatians did? Remember, it says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel. They're in the very first chapter. So it is possible if we get away, as Brother Earl Weldon wrote in my Bible 43 years ago, said only this book will keep you from sin. Only sin will keep you from this book. So if we get away from the book, we can find ourselves in one of these sins listed here possibly. You know, we think, well, those are grievous sins, murder. You know, the young lady, the beautiful young lady who was killed in Georgia, 22-year-old nursing student, awful. Watching on the news, the one who is not even an American citizen from Venezuela, they called it a crime of opportunity. How sick is that? Someone to kill a beautiful young lady out jogging, a crime of opportunity. It just happened. It is 2 or 3 days ago. And you think about, well, you and I, opportunity. You know, if we're not careful, if we have an opportunity to maybe click on an image that's not, we shouldn't look at, the opportunity is there. Do we do that? Do we look at something we shouldn't? Do we have a thought that we should not? The opportunity is there. But if we're led by the Spirit, if we fill our mind and our thoughts with spiritual things, there'll be no room for that. There'll be no room for those thoughts, those fleshly thoughts. I know when I was working in the nuclear field, radiological protection, the thyroid gland, radioactive iodine, when it is released, we'll try to seek out the thyroid of our bodies. It goes, every different radioactive element goes to a different part of the body. And like during a nuclear emergency, they will issue KI, which is potassium iodine, to fill up our thyroid with good iodine, not radioactive. And the purpose of that is so that if you had a radioactive release, you have this KI in your thyroid, so there's no room, there's no available space for the radioactive iodine. That's the intent of issuing those pills in the event of a nuclear emergency. And that's like here. If we fill our minds with spiritual things, there will be no room for these lustful thoughts to come into our minds at all. They will be dismissed. Even if we briefly have those, they will go away. If we're following after the fruit of the Spirit. And what are those things? Let's look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. These things are very pleasant, aren't they, compared to what we just read, the list we just read. Look at the polar opposite, the good feeling that we have when we read these as compared to what I just read in verse 19 through 21. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so again, we see the contrariness of those who follow the Spirit, those who follow after the flesh. Now, where do we find most of the world this very morning? You know, we're few in number, you might say, but not small in love, in spirit for one another, for good things. The world, most of the world has no care for Christ, for these good things. It's kind of like go for the gusto. While you're here up on earth, you have 70 or 80 years, live it up all you can. And how foolish that is. You know, I know when we're younger, we're minds, we're not mature as we are now, hopefully. And we don't think as well. We think, I don't want to miss out on things. But compared to eternity, why does it matter? You know, we're here such a brief time. James says, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then what? Vanisheth away. Just like that wisp of steam you see from the tea kettle. When you was a child, maybe your mom making a tea or seeing the wisp I saw this morning from my coffee pot as it was brewing. It takes about 5 minutes seeing that wisp coming out the little spout. That's how short and how brief our life can be. Yeah, it actually is. So kind of as Brother Paul sometimes says, trying to pull all this together, what's our thoughts from this morning? Sin is ever real, and we want to avoid sin at all cost. But yet we're still in this body, like we mentioned in our class this morning. And what did we say in 1 John? I think I brought out a point. Brother Paul had reminded, I guess something he said provoked me to think of this verse. 1 John 2, here are the three things that causes us to go back into the world to be give in to the tug of Satan. And there's an exhortation here from John that we not do these things, that we not be filled with these things. What are they? Verse 16 of 1 John 2. For all that is in the world, that's all this world around us, that's outside these doors here. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is what? Of the world. You know, we often say, well, something bad happened. Why did God let that happen? That's incompatible with Scripture. Even James says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from where? Above. God doesn't tempt us. Satan does. And then when we give into it, it becomes sin, then even our physical death and our spiritual death even can be. It can be our physical, but definitely be our spiritual death. So even Eve, as she was taken in with this idea of the beauty of the fruit, remember it was appealing. You know, as a little child in the class back here, I remember with Miss Marie Romine in the old building. I was 4, 5, 6. I remember even being with my mother over here on this side when I was 3 and 4 probably. And I remember them showing us those pretty pictures, real vivid, colorful pictures. Maybe it was a pear. Who knows? You know, we don't know what the fruit was, but it was so appealing, just like the verse talks about here. So to Eve, that fruit was appealing, and Satan made it even more appealing. He said, well, you'll be wise like God is, you know, kind of paraphrase it. He said, who said you will die? You know, he put that doubt in her mind. And that's the danger, even with you and I, out in, if we have a thought or something, that doubt, well, God, it's not that bad. He wants me to be happy. You know, we hear that oftentimes. God wants me to be happy. If someone's in some sin, and we, instead of going to them, as Brother Paul talked about, and showing them the error of their way, we're not being their enemy. We're being their loving brother and sister to do so. But that tug of the world is so great. And then what was the third one here? The pride of life. That's the part of having the knowledge of God that Eve was persuaded by, that she gave into that. So all three of those are still alive and well today with us. You know, we can give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, if we're not careful. If we get away from this book, going back to what was written in my Bible 43 years ago, only this book will keep you from sin. Only sin will keep you from this book. So kind of bringing all those thoughts together this morning, we've talked about sin. We've talked about how we stay away from sin. We talked about how that Satan is alive and well. He does a great job at what he does. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of his devices. He goes seeking about whom he may devour, like a roaring lion seeking to pounce on someone. That's Satan out there, yet in a spiritual sense. You know, there may be, even in our number this morning, some who feel like sin has got a hold to them in a public way, done some things that is contrary, as we read about in Galatians, contrary to the spiritual things, and maybe you've engaged in fleshly sins that are publicly known, and you would desire the prayers of the church this morning, and in a humble, contrite way, and we all pray for you. And it says even the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth, over more so over 99 that needeth not to repent. But yeah, we're all, you know, sinners in that respect, but we are forgiven sinners being in Christ. Maybe those in the number who have never obeyed the gospel, it's, the water is ready. You know, I haven't heard that phrase in a long time. I remember as a child, hear that. The water is ready. The water is warm. But the power is in the blood of Christ. The Bible said we're to hear the word of God, to believe. It says the devils believe. But it's more than just believe. It says then we confess Christ before men, even as the Ethiopian eunuch did there in Acts 8. Because we know that Philip preached to him Christ, because he said, here's water. Why, let, you know, stop the chair that I may be baptized to have my sins forgiven. So in preaching to him Christ, he preached to him confession, repentance, turning from sin, and also the fact that we have our sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. There'd be a need this morning, we'd ask you to come as Brother Rick lead us in song.